Let us pray. God of mystery, God of revealing, as the Magi searched diligently for the Christ child, may we also continually seek your presence. As the light of the star led the Magi, we pray that the light of love will lead us always. May the light of your word shine upon us now and lead us nearer to you. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But God will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Nations shall come to your light, and the leaders to the brightness of your dawn. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of God. The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the rest of the story. Good news from Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter. When the Magi had departed, an angel from God appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to come searching for that child to destroy him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and took off for Egypt. And they stayed there until Herod died, so that it might be fulfilled what God has spoken through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, when Herod realized that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was furious. And he sent and had killed all the children in Bethlehem, up to 2 years old, according to the time that he'd learned from them about the star. So came to fulfillment those words of the prophet, a voice crying in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She cannot be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, right then, an angel from God appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those people who were seeking the child's life are dead now." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. But having been warned in a dream, he went instead to the district of Nazareth. And they made their home there, in a town, in the district of Galilee, and they went to a town called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets: "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So on the surface, this is actually kind of a political thriller, isn't it? There's a king who discovers that there's a usurper to his throne, tries to find him and kill him, but Jesus gets away. Murders everybody in town, still doesn't catch him. They wait till Herod is dead to come back to safety, but it's not quite safe there, so they go to another place. A little bit of a thriller going on. It's a disturbing part that we don't like to hear in the Christmas story, because of that little detail of the slaughter of every child in Bethlehem. It feels like it sort of spoils the Christmas story, but in fact, that's the context of the Christmas story. That's what the Christmas story is about. That's why Jesus came, because of that violence and that fear and that hatred, that's what Jesus came to deal with. Matthew doesn't pull any punches about that. In fact, part of what he's doing in this little thriller is calling out and naming our human abuse of power and our violence. Notice this, that when Herod is afraid, he doesn't just react against one person. It's against an entire mass of people, every child in Bethlehem. Matthew is naming that, because we'll see that in his gospel and in the life of the early church. We still see that. When you hear the voice of fear turn into an attack on entire groups of people, Mexicans, Muslims, immigrants, black people, poor people, gay people, all the children in Bethlehem, that is the voice of evil. And that's what Jesus has come to stand against. So underneath this political thriller, there's another thing going on in this story. It's a religious drama of how God deals with the violence and the fear and the hatred that's so rampant in human culture. And the way God deals with it is not with violence in return, but with grace. God deals with it by setting people free. You see how God just, whatever Herod does, God makes sure that Jesus is able to go free. And he goes to Egypt. Isn't that interesting? He could just go, you know, to the next town over. He could even just go right over to the border of Israel. But they go all the way to Egypt because Matthew is building a story in which the life of Jesus looks a whole lot like the life of Moses. In fact, it looks like the life of the entire nation of Israel who escapes from slavery in Egypt and goes to the promised land. This is a story that's foreshadowing the way in which Jesus sets all of us free from the kind of fear and selfishness that leads to the violence of Herod. And of course, if there's going to be a couple layers, you know there's going to be at least one more. This is also, besides being a political thriller and a religious drama, it's a spiritual parable about our relationship with God. You notice, all the way through this story, how Joseph and the Magi are continually guided by God through angels that appear in their dreams. An angel isn't a guy in a white robe flapping in through the window. An angel is awareness from God, which is why we can call other people angels. Which is why sometimes when we receive some kind of awareness that seems to be divinely true, we can say it was an angel. It was just God. But you notice how God seems to have an intent in this story that will not be thwarted. The Magi have to travel long distances, follow that star. In fact, they have to do three things. They have to pay attention to the star. They also have to ask directions. And the place where they get those directions is a religious tradition. They didn't get it from Wikipedia. They ask, where is the one who was born king of the Jews? And the scribes refer to scripture that tells them it's in Bethlehem. They also have to pay attention to their own awareness, those dreams, those ways that they become aware of what's going on in the world. Because God has an intent, and they're paying attention to that. Joseph is continually led by these angels, these dreams, to escape from Egypt, to come back from Egypt, but not to go to Nazareth, or to get to Bethlehem, go to Nazareth instead. Because God has some kind of intent going on here. This is not under the control of Herod. It's God who's in charge. So on this New Year's Day, you might have some New Year's resolutions. You might already have decided, okay, 2017, I'm going to exercise 3 times a week. This year, I'm going to do it. This year, I'm going to do my taxes on time. This year, I'm going to call my mother. Whatever that is that you keep saying, okay, I've got to do this. Here I go. Imagine this. That God has a New Year's resolution for you. It might not be as specific as a thing you're going to do. It might just be a desire, a hope. God has a desire and a hope for Jesus. And God has put a lot of things in place so that that hope can be fulfilled. And Matthew does not miss an opportunity to say, this fulfills a hope that God has been speaking for 500 years. This has been prophesied, not necessarily that Jesus is going to live in Nazareth, but that God's word will be made flesh, and nothing's going to stop that. Not even Herod and all of his army. Not even the Roman Empire. Imagine that that's true for your life. As you look at this new year, whatever your resolutions might be, imagine that God has a hope for your life and that it will lead you somewhere. It will require doing more than just having your little sticky note with your resolution on it. God is really short on sticky notes, but they're there. Just like the Magi, there's all three of those different kinds of sticky notes. You're going to have to look around in the world. It might not be a star. It might be a person. It might be a situation. It might be a headline. But you will see in the world a hint of what God is beckoning you toward. This year, follow that. Magi also appeal to religious tradition. They've got to find out where the king of the Jews is born because they're not Jewish. They don't know. Imagine that there is a calling that God has for you that every Sunday morning when you come to worship, every time you come to a Bible study, a small group here, every time you share in prayers with people in this church, part of what's happening is that God is putting up sticky notes for you. God is shining little stars that say, that way, that way, come here, go there. It won't be quite as clear as these dreams that Joseph has, so you're going to have to keep listening. Keep reading scripture. Keep praying. Keep coming to worship. Imagine your calling being what we're always talking about. When we sing our hymns and say our prayers, it's about your calling. And like Joseph and the Magi, you're going to need to pay attention to your dreams. Not just the dreams you have when you're asleep, but the movement of your imagination, the ways your heart longs for something. That might be God. Listen to how you're being invited and guided and led. Whatever your New Year's resolutions are, imagine that God has a hope for your life in this year. And you'll have to follow it. You'll have to continue to watch and listen. It will be a difficult journey. There will be resistance. There will be examples of Herod that you'll have to work around. But the star will shine. The prophets will be right. And those dreams, those ways that God moves in your heart, will give you insight and wisdom. And the journey will be full of wonder. Just yesterday, Somebody sent me a message on Facebook and said, this is a serious question. What's the point? Here's the answer. The point of it all is to love and to be loved and to be in wonder and to set other people free so that they can wonder. And how God wants you to help with that? That's God's New Year's resolution for you. Keep listening. Keep watching. Go on that journey of love and wonder. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you do have such hopes for us. Help us to discern and to follow. God, we give you thanks that you are always present. When we seek you, and when we fail, and even when we forget. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.